There was an article in Builders Magazine last December that talked about how to build a healthy home. And basically, the gist I got from the article was the builder was saying, I need to build a healthy home, but I don't know how. And the consumer is saying, I need a healthy home, but I don't know how.
This is The Art of Construction with your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keep. Devin has built a multi-7-figure business in the construction industry, selling windows, doors, and hardware over the past 13 years. Devin's passion for helping those around him led him to create the Art of Construction informational platform, a part of which is a fireside chat podcast with industry professionals all focused on how they apply art in their business and construction projects. Grown to an audience of over 100,000, Devin shares his strategies for what he has accomplished and creates insightful conversations with industry leaders. This is The Art of Construction, featuring your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keith.
All right, Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Wayne Cannell, who is the founder of the Green Air Retreat and runs the Invisible Disabilities Association. I'm super excited to hear his story because I know he's had quite a story, and following his personal situation to make the best that it can be.
No, absolutely, and I'm excited to hear his perspective on how to integrate some of these solutions within the building arena, and I know that they're working on some projects right now that they're going to share with us today and with our audience. And, you know, the interesting thing is we don't see oftentimes things that are going on behind the scenes. In other words, the whole idea of invisible disabilities is that there are people out there that legitimately are being affected in a negative way by chemicals and airborne contaminants and things that are in our everyday world. And for some of us, it's not as debilitating, but for a lot of people, it really is. And he's got some ideas on how to work through that in the building industry that I think everybody should pay close attention to.
Heck yeah, here we go. What's your favorite beverage?
Root beer.
Root beer. Are you like me, the A&W root beer, which are...
Well, no, actually, there's two ends of the spectrum. There's A&W and Barks. Those are kind of the two ends, but I love Henry Weinhart's.
Henry Weinhart's.
It's made with real vanilla, and they use honey for the sweetener, and it's amazing. And it will actually, if you set the bottle down, the whole head will just start pouring out of the top if you don't watch it. So, no, really, I'm a root beer connoisseur, and I love great root beer.
Awesome.
Cool.
The smooth stuff, not the sharp stuff, which is different. Barks versus A&W, right? Okay. Barks is real sharp, and A&W is real smooth.
Very cool.
There was a root beer, that an alcoholic root beer that I tried.
You haven't tried one of those. But what's interesting, Tommy Knocker makes it, which they use maple syrup, which is, I guess, what they use in their beers. I'm not a beer drinker, but they use a maple syrup for the sweetener, so it's got a real interesting flavor, too.
Cool. Awesome. That's our first root beer.
Yeah, it is. Right,
there we go. Yay.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Oh, the favorite place I've traveled. That's an interesting... Walt Disney World is probably our favorite place.
Yeah.
That's my absolute ultimate because I love going there, and they treat you unbelievable.
Yeah.
What's funny is you walk around the park and you... Yeah, I'll take that, and I'd like to buy that, and I'd like to buy that. And you get back to your hotel room, and they're all piled up on your bed. You know, they don't even make you carry it around. So I always love that, and they treat my wife and my family, my wife amazingly. So that's what,
cool.
That's my favorite place.
Awesome.
And Disney World, not Disneyland. I mean, yep. I enjoy Disneyland, but Disney World really, boy, they just go, every detail is unbelievable.
Well, give us one story from a family trip there.
Oh, from a family trip there. So, well, that would be interesting, one story. We went to one of my wife's favorite things is a safari, so we stayed at the Animal Kingdom, and that was quite an amazing trip, and they have a safari you can actually take. We around and around and around, we'd go around and get incredible photographs, and the giraffes and zebras come right up to your hotel room. So I'd have to say that was amazing. And I did know that zebras actually make this really interesting sound. They like screech almost. They don't sound like a horse, and they would chase the peacocks around and stuff, and it was always... quite a fascinating thing, but yes. That's the fact that you can be right there with the animals is pretty amazing.
Nice. Awesome. Well, give us your favorite passion or interest outside of the construction arena.
So my favorite passion really is a nonprofit that I founded 21 years ago called the Invisible Disabilities Association, and it's reaching all over the world, helping people believe illnesses that people can't see. And that's really my passion. That's my hobby. That's what I love doing.
Awesome. Well, there's the perfect segue. We got to know a little bit about Wayne, And we're going to talk about that invisible disability. So tell us the story of how that all came together.
I met my wife. She was actually a customer of mine at a store I was managing. She walked in. I was quite smitten with her. You know, gave her 20 questions, found out about, you know, found out some about her. We started dating. And one of the things I learned right off the bat is that in, this was in 92, in 91, she was diagnosed with primary progressive multiple sclerosis. And at the age of 27 was disabled, unable to work anymore. She had been an actress, a musical theater major, multiple college degrees, just go get her, but unable to work. And that same year she was diagnosed with Lyme disease. And so this is in 92, and we can trace that back to when she was 14 and been bit by a tick. And there was all kinds of things on the news happening to the animals from the ticks and stuff in Arkansas. That's where she had visited. We got married in 94. I planned it that way. Wanted to make sure, I didn't forget, right? And in 96, she coined the phrase invisible disabilities. We'd park in disabled parking. She wasn't in a wheelchair, but she was in pain from head to toe all the time, and people would scream at us.
Really?
And so we took some of her writing. She kind of wrote a little pamphlet about that called Don't Judge by Appearances. She wrote one on multiple sclerosis because people are always asking about these things. And I'm a techie from a long line of techies. And I said, you know, let's put up a website in 1997. The internet had been around about 3 years, I think. And we put up her writings, and people from all over the world came. We had 20-some thousand people a month coming to the site. And they said, we put into words what they were trying to tell their friends and family because they didn't understand what they were going through. And so that's what we started doing. I took some of her writings and put them into a book called But You Look Good. We've sent over 30,000 of those around the world now. They help people learn what to say and what not to say when you can't see the illness, because a lot of times we say things that we probably shouldn't say that we think are nice, and they don't come across that way to people. And as part of this whole journey, too, on top of these other things, she started developing. We noticed she would get sick a lot, like go to church, different places. We thought it was the MS. We bought a new car. And she got, her tongue went numb, her spine went numb. We're like, oh, these are the chemicals in this car. What's going on? And within 9 months, went from, you know, using laundry detergent instead of fragrances and little plug-in things you put in your walls and everything to nothing, because it would neurologically attack her. It wasn't an allergy. It would literally make her deathly ill. So we started doing research on that, and we launched as part of the organization, Invisible Disabilities Association, the Cleaner Indoor Air campaign. And we started putting up there what we were finding. And there was a PhD environmental scientist, University of Washington. She's now down in Australia, Ann Steineman. And she did the research. She took 24 common household products, you know, everything from shampoos to, you know, cleaners, all kinds of stuff that we use in the house. And she did research and mass spectrum analyzing on them. And she found over 600 toxic products, stuff that you can't even put in a landfill that we actually put on our bodies. And so started doing a lot of research on that. And of course, the other thing it impacted us on was we couldn't go anywhere anymore. My wife couldn't fly in a plane anymore because, you know, you're really in a closed environment. We couldn't stay in hotels anymore because they'd spray the rooms down. We couldn't buy new cars anymore. There's all these things that, and you start to, your circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller as we learn about this. But we also found out that 12.5% to 15% of the population actually has what they call multiple chemical sensitivity. Now, the word sensitivity is an interesting thing, and they call it MCS. It's not really sensitivity. It's that everybody else has become desensitized. It's the opposite. You know, if you get better vision, you don't say, oh, there's sensitive vision. You actually say they have great vision. Well, that's what happens is when you're not around the stuff, you're able to smell more and notice the toxins that are coming in and the chemicals. And so as part of this dream is we thought, you know, so we had to redo our whole house inside and rip all the carpet out. You know, we had to put in special paints, all these things that she could be around. And I learned all about air purifications and things that, you know, people think that, well, if you just wear a mask, well, that's a particle filter. Fragrances and those things are actually gases. You got to have a gas mask, which, what are they made out of? Rubber. Well, that means they outgas. So you can't wear a gas mask. Or we know today, if you wore a gas mask in the town, what would happen, right? I mean, people wouldn't take kindly to that. But it was learning those things, how to really do a house, that we wanted to do a retreat. And so we have a possibly opportunity to do some big retreat centers that are actually designed with this, what I call really starting to look at organic living in a sense, you know, what you sleep on, what you breathe, those things. which has turned into a house that we're putting together that's breathable, accessible, and sustainable, called the Green Air Retreat.
All right. So,
wow.
What a lead-in. I mean, yeah, thanks for that story. So the Green Air Retreat is a website, greenairretreat.com, and I'm going to read the vision and mission, and I'm assuming you want to kind of go down that road and talk about that.
Absolutely.
Right? Awesome. So the vision of Green Air Retreat is we envision a house that goes beyond trying to minimize toxins and chemicals. It truly becomes a home which helps us live healthier lives. Our mission is to design, construct, and build a national idea demonstration home, highlighting products, services, resources, and education in order to create a healthier, more breathable, accessible, and sustainable living environment. So breathable, accessible, sustainable. That's what we're going to talk about. Right?
Absolutely. What's interesting about that is today when we talk about green, sustainability is what we talk about. You know, how do we make so we can make a net zero house? How do we, you know, have products that last, recycle, and those things? But what we're focusing on this house, we want to look at breathable first, because you got to live in this house. And sometimes just because it's good for the environment, taking tires and recycling them, putting them into carpet squares that you put in your house is not a good thing for you. It may be good because of recycling, and it's much better to put them on the pavement and use them to, you know, for that purpose. So we look at breathable. We'll look at every single item that goes into this house, down to the foundation, all the way to, you know, the furniture, to the even the personal care products, everything. We're going to look at what's the chemical makeup. How can we minimize that? Obviously, there's some times where you have, you know, appliances that are made of steels and plastics and stuff that you can't get rid of. All your plastics in the house or all your glues and those things. So we're going to minimize it. Next step is we're going to look at accessibility using terms like a universal design, which is designed for people who are in a wheelchair and somebody who's 6'5". They can use the same house. That's what universal design is really about. So we want to look at accessibility, you know, having doors that are 3 foot wide and people can access, you know, one level in the whole house. You don't have steps to go up and down in the house. And then we're going to look at sustainability because we still want to look at that. How do we make it so it is not just a net zero house, but it's a house that actually generates more energy than it consumes to help fund some of the things in the house that way? So that's kind of the steps that we're taking. And it's quite a journey to do that, because along this journey, we're finding out more and more things that you may have thought were good enough. In some sense, they're not there yet.
Yeah, and I'm sure. So you're actually building this as we speak. This is something that's started, or
we're going to be breaking ground hopefully soon. We're still garnering together the all the partners are involved. We've actually had some design changes because the things that have happened, you know, even in the industry where things like formaldehyde show up, you know, we're like, oh, well, we better look at a different design because we want to minimize this or that. So it's still, you know, we're hoping to break ground within the next 60 days. You know, just trying to get all those things like the financing and all these crazy things together to do that and have it done within eight to nine months, the whole process.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's tricky when people may be kind of hiding a few things too. They don't go out of their way to say the stuff that may not be good about their product, right? So you probably have to do some deep dives to figure things
out. Right, the research is highly extensive research, right? Because what happens is there are certain... For example, California has what's called the CARB 2. That's where that has to do with no added formaldehyde. But you do have formaldehyde in woods naturally occurring too. But what happens is, let's say you go with a door that says, you know, it meets CARB 2 compliant, which that's all they can use in California now. But the door is still made with plastics. So you may have no formaldehyde, but you have other plastics that are outgassing. So then you need to look at a solid wood door and think about, okay, if it's got some glues, you know, what are we going to look at the glues? How are we going to cover up the glues with special paints and sealers that won't allow it to outgas? It's types of paints. You've probably have seen familiar with no VOC paints.
Right.
I mean, you see that a lot. You can buy them just about anywhere now. But what happens is that's no added organic compounds, and VOCs is volatile organic compounds. That doesn't mean that all the other chemicals in there are good for you too. And so you need to find a paint that actually, you know, we're looking at a company like AFM Safecoat. They've been around a long time. So they actually look at all the chemicals and how they combine and to see if they're going to have an issue with that. As well as a lot of these paints, if you add a tinting to it, you know, you don't want white. You add blue or green or whatever. The tint may have VOCs in it. And so that no VOC paint you bought is now no longer no VOC. It's actually got VOCs in it. And so it is, it's looking at... all those aspects. Then you look at accessibility, you know, I was mentioning appliances. You know, Bosch, for example, think about people aging in place, you know, people with chronic illnesses like my wife, or she's got some brain injury as well. And you may forget, you know, you put some bacon or something, or she's cooking turkey bacon on the stove and she knows how long it takes to cook and to get it nice and crispy. And then she walks away and she forgets, right? Well, it, you know, smokes the whole house out and everything. Well, Bosch makes a cooktop non-gas, because we can't use the gas, obviously, right? Because the the natural gas is propane. But they make a cooktop where they put a timer on every one of the burners, just like ovens are all designed that way now. As you can set, you know, start my oven now, end it now. They actually have that on their burners too. So you could say it takes 10 minutes normally to cook. I'm going to set it at 15. It'll cut off at 15, right? You know, if you have somebody who's dealing with memory issues, they make a unit that you can hook up to your whole oven that has a sensor on it. When you walk away, it'll then, after 10 minutes, shut off automatically. So somebody who has a memory totally issue, it'll actually kill the whole oven off so that they don't have an issue. And then they come back in and it senses you come back in, you know, like a motion sensor. Oh, okay, they're back. We can go again. So it's all these little things. What's exciting is, and one of the things we want to showcase in this house, that's why it's an idea house, by the way, is that all these things exist now. These are not things where people are, you know, I mean, there's always new things coming up, but all these things exist now. People just don't know where they're at. We're going to put them all in one house and show you your house can be smart and be healthy.
Now, awesome.
It's interesting. How do you go about the testing if you don't have data that's readily available and you're looking at a particular product or a particular type of materials that are going into, let's say, that door? How do you break it down to find out what's really going on?
Well, you can. The manufacturers do have, you know, data sheets and those things on all the products. There is a, you know, there's a lot of resources that are out there on people that have actually done some of the research themselves. They've had to build a house themselves. You can find that research. Some of it literally is getting the product and checking it out. I mean, some people are impacted even more so than others by the chemicals. You know, where you can't build a chemical-free house per se. There's just no way. There's chemicals that naturally occur, right? But what we want to do is what I call a chemically sensitive friendly, where we're going to do everything we can to minimize that. And think about it. If you have 100 items that are outgassing and you can narrow that down to 5, it's a dramatic reduction. Then what do you do? Well, there's special air purification units. There's things called energy recovery units, or energy recovery ventilators is what they're called, ERVs or HRVs, heat recovery ventilators, where you actually are taking bad air in the house, you're sending it outside, and you're bringing in fresh air, and you're bringing that into the house and into the fresh air areas. Then, of course, you got to filter that coming in, right? Because what if you're bringing in bad air? You know, there's all these things of learning. Probably the exciting thing for me is there's twofold out of this house is to educate the consumers, right? This stuff's out there. But what's fun is we're actually educating all of the manufacturers and the installers and the suppliers as well. They think, oh, I've got green, and then they find out not to the level we need it to be. Or, oh, I didn't know that if we get this kind of air purifier, we can actually help exhaust this bad toxins out, you know, and they like learning each other and they're coming together and finding out, oh, and you do that and I do this and we can do it together now. And so it's a very exciting part of it as well.
Well, that's something I'm curious about when you describe Bosch having that particular kind of feature on the stovetop. I mean, that seems to be, if you step back and just look at a pure marketing kind of outlook, there probably aren't that many customers that at least now are screaming for that on the one hand. On the other hand, obviously they're willing to do it and it's gaining steam. So what's the response you're getting from the other manufacturers out there? Are they looking at it? They can't be looking at it from a pure dollar return to it, are they? Or is it more just something that they feel long-term is the right thing to do?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. The long-term is the right thing to do. For example, we're using a special drywall by a company called Forever Board. Now think about drywall, right? You know, drywall inherently is, you know, the muds that go on it, the drywall itself can be very toxic. It's got paper on it, molds real easy. So there's coming from overseas, there's a technology, well, we call it magnesium oxide board, okay? Magnesium oxide board instead of gypsum, they're using all over the world. It actually is, there's different types of it, and there's a structural type where it actually replaces plywood, OSB, drywall, flooring, I mean, just about everything, this board will. Well, but it's very heavy and it's quite expensive. It's about twice what you'd pay for a sheet of drywall. It's pretty expensive. So instead of $10, you're paying $20. I mean, that adds up real quick. So there was a manufacturer, a gentleman in New York, who recently moved to Bakersfield, California. And the only reason why he moved to Bakersfield, because he actually had a, there was a plant out there. It's out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, right? But he created, using magnesium oxide board, the same type of board that's actually a direct competitor with drywall. It's thin. It weighs about the same as drywall. It's only about 20% more instead of 100% the cost difference. Right. But here's the neat thing about magnesium oxide board. It's 4-hour flame resistant. It's non-toxic. It's mold resistant. It's insect resistant. I mean, it's, you know, it's incredible stuff. And when you use it in the house, well, as we'll be using it, the board he uses is not structural. So we won't, you know, we won't use it on the floor, for example, but we're using it on the ceilings and the walls. It also has, the way it's designed, you can tile right to it. So you don't need green board. You don't need backer board, you know, like concrete backer board for your tiling. You use this one board. It cuts like drywall, looks like drywall, but instead of paper, it's got like a special proprietary fiberglass front and back on it and the way it's designed. So that's an educational piece that people don't know. Well, D.R. Horton is looking at all these things. They're dealing with bad drywall from, you know, all these Chinese drywall that came over and all these problems. And they have partnered with this guy, and they're going to put this in thousands and thousands of homes, this type of drywall. I mean, it's incredible stuff that are happening. You know, just because we're all looking at that, we're trying to say, okay, what can we do that's better, right, than we're doing, right? And so that's what we're looking at.
And you used the word education. I think that's really the key, right? And
exactly
that's what
right.
really got from your personal situation. You started the Invincible Disabilities Association that now with the Green Air, that's where you're kind of pulling all of that back together to really make a difference, right?
Right, right. Because it doesn't matter what your illness is. If your body has to fight an illness and the chemicals, it loses the both battle. Right.
Well, and the one interesting thing, too, I think, is that in the building industry, I mean, we're experiencing that here in Denver and nationwide right now. You know, Georgia-Pacific has got a major class action lawsuit going on for off-gassing from some of, you know, and I think it's either formaldehyde or something similar
right.
coming off their floor trusses that they're using in the basements because they have some kind of a special coating on it.
Yeah, it's Weyerhaeuser, actually.
Oh, is it Weyerhaeuser? I knew it was one of the Weyerhaeuser. Big ones. Sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to, yeah.
No, it's okay.
to disparage the wrong company. But
yeah, we got to make sure we're yeah. using the right place.
Well, well, yeah, one of the things Weyerhaeuser did is they actually added a fireproofing spray on it.
That's
too.
What it was, yeah.
Right. So guess what? We're using steel truss. And a right. floor joist, right? I mean, steel floor joist, so excuse me. You know, because that's exactly right. You know, how do you limit things like OSB? Well, there's sometimes you got to use OSB. I mean, that's what's available. But how do you limit it in the house? How do you look at, okay, is it meeting CARB 2 compliance? So it's, it doesn't have that added formaldehyde, the type of formaldehyde that CARB 2 addresses. You know, is there, you know, what type of flooring goes on top of it? You know, that will cover it up. How do you seal that? You know, it's all these different layers. I mean, it's fascinating because we're going with in-floor heating, right? So do you know, the lower level is easy. It's concrete. You know, you put mount in the concrete and then you go with a tile. But we want wood floors on the main floor. Well, if you go with concrete, it's hard to put 3/4-inch hardwood on concrete. So then you got to go with an OSB type or a subfloor. Okay, then what do you do with the in-floor heating? Well, there's companies that will make They have like an aluminum base where the in-floor heating goes into that, and then that helps seal the stuff coming out of the bottom. I mean, it's just like layer after layer after layer as you're thinking about this. Now, one of the things on an education piece of this house as we break ground on the house is during the whole building of the house, which is we think it's going to be about 6 to 8 months to build it, is it will be open to each of the manufacturers to showcase their technology, right? To bring in the architects and the designers and the builders and stuff and show behind the scenes as they're building it, right? You know, this is why we're putting in this kind of air handler. This is why we're using this type of drywall. All those things you don't normally see, that's going to happen during that process. And then once it's completed, we have like a month open house, like a Parade of Homes style open house where then people, the public can come in and check out all the different things. I mean, literally down to what type of shampoo is sitting in there that doesn't have, that's not using the fragrances, that it's not going to make you sick from those things. I mean, down to the cleaning products, to the, you know, a lot of the furniture will be designed that way. You know, organic cotton beds, mattresses, and those things.
Yeah, because the reality awesome. Is people are getting really sick. I mean, in this case, it's uninhabitable. You know, it's not habitable for people in that truss example. And so.
And that's one piece. Think about that. That's just your floor joist, yep. right? That's it. Yep. That's nothing else. So that new house smell, it's a chemical.
Yep.
That's what that is. So what we want to do is educate, like you said, is to really help people understand. And that, hey, I'm going to remodel a bathroom or whatever. Okay, Can I do something better? Now, sometimes there's a little bit more of a cost, but the reality is, what is the cost to yourself too, right? So right. There's such a huge benefit to doing these things. And when people walk into a house that has an ERV in there, this energy recovery ventilator, where it's actually retaking that indoor air, which can be six times or more chemically, you know, bad than the outside air, right? And you're starting to replace it with fresher air and those things. People can notice it when they walk in the house. This is where we're taking the house from, not just saying, oh, let's get rid of these are all bad and it's horrible. No, here's what we can do to actually make your house healthier, right? Another thing Bosch has is, and it's starting to come out with other manufacturers, is their oven doors open sideways, right?
Interesting.
From an accessibility standpoint, right? How many times have you pulled a pizza out and you dumped it on the thing and you burn your hands and everything? Now imagine if you're in a wheelchair or you're using a walker or something like that, right? You know, you don't, that's all we need is 350 degrees, you're pulling your over. So they actually have, you get, depending on, you know, right hand or left handed, you know, you get the door when, depending on how your kitchen's laid out. Yeah. Now you open it, you're right there. You don't have to pull it out and worry if you're going to burn your hands on the.
That's such a great example of, we've just always done this way. That's how ovens always worked.
Right. Well, part of it's because they're down low, right? Yeah. So, you know, you have to raise an oven up if you're going to have a sideways door, but not necessarily. You can have it down low.
You know, it's one thing that I've always found interesting is that when ADA first came out and when sustainability first came out, there always tends to be a little resistance. And yet I think in the building industry overall, they've embraced it to the point where they've actually made it part of their business plan. I mean, look at sustainability now. I mean, even though it does cost more, it also is popular and people want it. And
right.
It's something that's always looked at. It's not just for the LEED buildings. It's for everyday life for people to take a look at. And the same with ADA. I mean, ADA back, you know, I was a builder back in the early 90s when, you know, when this first came out and all the plans were changing, everybody was freaking out. And
right.
It really turned out, it did cost more money for everybody, but now it's a part of everyday life and it's really no big deal, right? And
right.
Yet for people that have the visible disabilities, we all see how they interact in the world and the building
right.
market.
Right.
This is really fascinating because I never thought about this before, but I wanted to go back just briefly to your introduction where you described the fact that as you're, you know, you and your wife are pulling up to a handicap spot and you're getting out, they're yelling at you. And I guess on the one hand, I could see myself potentially, if not doing it, thinking it because you think that person is otherwise able-bodied and therefore taking up a spot
right.
for somebody that's disabled, when in reality, they are disabled and we just don't see it.
Well, exactly right. In fact, the last line in the pamphlet is, you know, the person you may be graciously trying to defend, I mean, that's what you're saying. You're
yeah.
like, hey, you know, people that park there should be able to park there, maybe standing in front of you.
Right.
The majority of people with disabilities don't use a wheelchair on a regular basis. The majority don't use any assistive device. It's a high, you know, it's a 75% of the people who have severe disabilities don't use any kind of assistive device, right? So it is learning that. And so what happens is from an accessibility standpoint, there's all these factors. Accessibility is where I've got what I call an air freshener, which is really putting on toxic chemicals. And the ones you can read are bad enough. It's the ones you can't read, which is in the term fragrance, which
right.
is a trade secret, by the
right.
way. They don't have to disclose it. It's not the EPA doesn't know anything about it. The FDA doesn't know anything about it. They put in there whatever they want. It's a trade secret. But imagine accessibility to like a restaurant, but the person can't access the bathroom because they have these sprayers in there that are putting out toxic stuff.
Wow.
So we've just told accessibility, you can't go in the bathroom, but you can come in our restaurant. Right? But what happens is people do this in their homes too, right? They've got all kinds of stuff that they're adding into their homes because we've been, you know, we've bought into this notion that we've got to have it smell. And if it has a smell, that's clean, right? Clean
right.
means no smell, actually. But we're bought into this thing.
Yeah.
For example, one of the things we'll have in the house, there's a company called the Source H2O, and they have a unit that goes on your washing machines that they've been using in hotels and hospitals for like a decade that uses ozone, and you no longer use any detergent or bleach ever. You use cold water only, and it gets them your clothes cleaner than they ever had, and you don't have fragrances in them anymore, and it doesn't wreck the colors or anything. And then it has a little spigot on the side. You fill it up the little water bottle. Now you've got a cleaner that you can use around the house. It's got this ozonated water that'll clean it. And you buy this thing one time, and you never buy detergent again. You know, those are kind of things, and exists. That's why I'm saying these things exist now. It's just people like, well, I didn't know they were all together. Because those industries, all those people selling them don't necessarily get together, right? Because they're over there, I'm selling water stuff, you're selling air stuff, and we don't necessarily get together.
Right.
Well, we're saying we want you to get together because we want people to know that, you know, not only is eating healthy food a good thing as we start to get into really eating organic foods and the chemicals in the foods, the air is a lot more toxic than the foods even.
Wow.
We're breathing this stuff all day long, right? So not that I'm an alarmist, but the nice thing is there's ways to actually mitigate that, or we can actually do that now.
Now, when you're starting from the ground up like you are on this show home, if you will, or this test home.
Yeah, idea home, right. Idea absolutely. Home. Right.
So I can see from that standpoint, you're starting from it's like a fresh canvas, you know, and you're painting your painting on top of that. But if you've got an existing home and you have issues, what's the recommendation for somebody to go through a process to make it as good as they can with what they have versus going out and starting from scratch?
Right. Well, so there are things they can do. Like, for example, this injury recovery ventilator I was telling you about, you can retrofit any house with those.
Okay.
So they just go up into the attic. They have just little tubes that go in. And what they do is you replace all your exhausts and your bathroom fans actually exhaust to this unit. And your stale areas like a storage room, laundry room, those things. And then what it does is when it brings in the fresh air, it puts it into your bedrooms and your family rooms and those things. And the reason why it's called a recovery ventilator is what it's got a unit that actually, as heat is going out, let's say it's cold outside and you got warm air inside, it then that cold air is coming in, gets that heat back in, and so you don't lose the heat. Same thing in the summer, right? So you don't lose the cool going outside. Because if you were just pumping your hot air outside and bringing in cold air inside, you know, you'd have an issue. But these actually, they recover it so that you take care of that. But that's something you can
do. That's something.
Absolutely. Everybody can do that, right? You can also, you want to go, what's under your kitchen sink, right? The toxins that are under your kitchen sink are absolutely incredible. Go home, stick your head under your kitchen sink, and tell me how long you can breathe, right?
Yeah.
All these things. It's those little things that we can do. That's a big part of it as well. But it's literally, okay, I'm going to paint my kid's bedroom. Okay, let's make sure that you paint it with a no VOC paint. There's multiple manufacturers that are getting better at that. There's ones, you can buy them at the local paint store, but there are better ones even than that. But use that instead. Anytime you're doing an upgrade, take into account, what can I do to change that out, right? I got to replace my mattress. Let's get a mattress that's organic cotton. The one we use is a company called Naturepedic, where it's all organic cotton. And then for the fireproofing, it's a mixture of like crushed, pistachio shells and baking soda or something, because that fireproofing is very toxic. You think about memory foam mattresses, and memory foam mattresses people get very hot on. And the reason why is your body's having a chemical reaction with the bed. That's what's happening. It's the chemicals in it that are reacting with your body, and that's why people get very sick from them and those things. So those are ways you can minimize them. It's always piece by piece. Look at the product. If you're buying a new product, right, think about, okay, what can I do with this product? What, you know, how can I minimize them? How can it help me accessible-wise? And so that's what we're going to try to do, is really put that together. In fact, on the website, you know, when you go and as we continue to build out the website, we'll be adding more research on there for people to get. We'll be adding the products we're using, those things, so they can go to those manufacturers and say, oh, great, this is a great product. And there's companies out there that are doing this already, in some sense, that are starting to look at, there's a company called Wellness Within Your Walls that we're partnering with, who's actually creating protocol for these, and they're doing training through the Home Builders Association. And so we'll be, you know, partnering with them as well, right, to help provide educational training. And that's what they're trying to do. They're looking at these things. How can we create some protocols and vet products and those things?
Yeah, and there's so many lessons learned, and you can go back to different shows, like show 78, How Does Biomimicry Apply to Architecture? And that was just, this is one of those episodes that's just so mind-blowing when you take the time to really think outside of just the standard, you know, what's your lowest price product?
Right.
Because there's so many things that go into that, and, you know, biomimicry is like, you know, everything under the sun's kind of there and been created. How do we learn from that? How
right.
do you go back and look at it different? And, you know, not to get into politics or money, but money drives in certain situations where people, and that's where I'm a big fan of documentaries and different things to see it from a different point of view than the who's paying to keep it going this way.
Yeah, if you're going to change out the drywall, think about that. We're going to now go a different direction with the drywall that actually is going to help you be healthier. How much gypsum drywall is out there, right?
Yeah, and I commend you for doing the Idea House. We've done that with the Art of Construction as show 32, Building a Successful Project Through Collaboration and Teamwork. And that's with a group called Elite Industry Partners that I work with day to day, and we all collaborated together. And, you know, it would have been fun to have someone like you meet with all of us to say how we take all of our products to look at it from the sustainability aspect instead of the latest greatest gadgets, the cool factor stuff. And all that stuff's important because that's a a big reason why they're going to buy it, but it's also the story behind that sometimes people don't talk about.
Right. I mean, you want, when you go home, we call this a green air retreat for a reason. Your home should be a retreat, not the opposite where it makes you sick, right? It should be a retreat where you go home and you relax and the air's clean and you get, you know, it's comfortable and the products work and you know that things like they're not going to make you sick later. That's what's amazing is just, you know, and you're pulling out toxins out of the air that just came in and you're bringing in some fresh air and you're just trying to do all these things to, you know, to help with those things. For example, our walls are made out of, our outside walls are using a technology called Nexum, which is insulated concrete forms is what a lot of people talk about. But those are made with polystyrene typically. What Nexum does is 85% recycled wood, which they actually get from trusses. So it's a clean wood. And then they mix it with a Portland cement. They add a insulation inside of it. You stack them up like Legos, basically, and then you pour concrete in them. And they have like an R value of 28. They're breathable too, so they won't mold, and they're insect resistant too. So, and they're fire resistant, by the way, too. But it's wood and concrete the way they're designed. But you don't have the off gassing. You don't. And what I mean by the breathable is, so it allows the pH factor and everything won't allow mold to grow. But it allows the air to flow in within the block. It kind of breathes in a sense, right? You want to seal the inside of the house up, but you need the walls to breathe a little bit too, so you don't get that mold buildup. You know, one of the interesting things about being in Colorado is that people don't know that we actually have some of the most toxic mold out there. And people are like, Colorado, toxic mold. Right, because it has to grow in an arid climate. It grows with no water. So imagine if you add a little water, it goes nuts. And I do know of many people that have actually had to abandon their entire houses in Colorado because of mold. So we want to make sure they minimize that. A lot of people who have multiple chemical sensitivity got it because they had a mold exposure. They got sick from mold.
Yeah, having come from Las Vegas, one of those things when you first learn about it, it's pretty surprising because you talk about an arid climate, that's about as arid.
Right, you're thinking down south where there's all kinds of moisture everywhere.
But when you're building houses that are completely sealed up and there's a little bit of penetration to feed the mold, it's mind-boggling. And
right.
It just like this condition with the trusses, people become deathly ill. I mean, you know, vomiting, blood, all kinds of things that you wouldn't ever imagine. And once again, you can't see it, you know, but it's real stuff. It's not something to be, you know, scared about or to be freaked out about. It's just something to be, you know, consciously aware of and looking at and trying to improve the situation, because with energy requirements, houses are as tight as they've ever been, and they're
right.
going to continue to be that way. Some of these factors are being built in now to the process so that it avoids some of those kinds of problems. But I think you're right on track with trying to find other ways to make it much more, you know, really breathable like you're describing, because that's
right.
pretty critical.
Yes. Well, and the ERVs are actually a requirement now in California. But they don't even know that in a lot of places out there. They don't know that they're requiring this type of you know, exchange of air that we need to do. Because you do seal the house up tight when
right.
you're doing that. But as part of sealing up the house, then you're going to now exchange good fresh air coming
Correct.
In too. Right, because we used to get what's called sick building syndrome, if you remember that, you know, we sealed the office building so tight that everybody got really sick, and then finally said, oh, we got to bring in so much outside air now,
yep.
because everybody's getting sick from that, right? And so these things exist, and what we're saying is let's educate the public, let's educate the builders. There was an article in Builders Magazine last December that talked about how to build a healthy home, and basically the gist I got from the article was the builder was saying, I need to build a healthy home, but I don't know how. And the consumer is saying, I need a healthy home, but I don't know how, right? And that's really where we're at right now. How do we do this? And so our philosophy is let's partner with all these other, you know, there are other organizations out there as well and be part of this. You know, you're talking about your organization that you were working with to build that house. Those are the kind of people who are like, be part of this. We want people to be part of this because we need that educational piece, right? We need to be able to say, let's start training people and understand that this stuff's available. We can build it. You can build a great house with it, and it will help you, and it'll help your kids. You know, I mean, kids, think about it. Kids are down on the floor. They're right next to all the toxins. They absorb faster than anything else, and we're not thinking about those things as well, and that's a big part of it. In fact, Naturepedic got into the mattress world because of that. They made crib mattresses first because these kids were getting sick in the cribs, right? So interesting thing, there's a Hayward Healthy Homes, which is out in California, and they have the Healthy Home Institute. And they're doing a lot of stuff around these chemicals. Bill Hayward's daughter didn't grow for a year, a little young daughter, and they're trying to figure it out. And he's like, I think we got mold in our crawl space. And he's not only a builder, he has lumber yards and things like that. And so he did what he called the lemon pledge test. And he goes, like, what's that? He had his wife go on in the living room, and then he went down in the crawl space and he sprayed Lemon Pledge. And guess what? Sure enough, she could smell it. Well, guess then it's not sealed properly.
Yes.
All the stuff that's down there was coming up into the house, and that's where he got into the the injury recovery ventilator and said, oh my goodness, you know, my kid's not even getting, you know, this thing is happening. And so, not trying to be an alarmist, but I think we can do these things, you know, and as an idea home, there's a lot of these things that we can do to just start. How do we do this? You know, we're going to do a kitchen remodel. We're going to do a basement remodel. We're going to add these things. How do we look at these things? We're going to build a house. Let's do it right the first time.
Well, you touched on one thing earlier, too, which was describing that somebody became aware of these sensitivities after being exposed to mold. And I think that's something that people need to think about is when your immune system is compromised, other things attack.
Right.
And I would imagine that's partly what happened with your wife having MS and some other things. When she came in contact with some of these other things, your body just can't.
Well, you're right. That's what I was saying. When you're dealing with illness, which we're all eventually dealing with illness, when we're fighting these chemicals too, and your body's going to lose the battle to both, right? I mean, why is there a higher rise of illnesses? A good part of it could be because of the chemicals. We got to continue rise of chemicals. And we may test one chemical, but we don't test how these 30 of them interact, right? We're not doing that. We're not able to do that in a lot of cases because there's all these different interactions. So let's build it a healthier home. Let's figure out how can we make it so when I come in, actually my health improves. Because I've been outside and, you know, outside in the air that, you know, the industrial air, the air that, you know, that unless you're living up in the mountains, hopefully, you know, and you're enjoying the beautiful outside air, which this house is in the country a little bit too. But you still, you want to come in and it wants to be your oasis. You want it to be your retreat, right? And let's figure out a way to do that.
Awesome. I have to ask, as a window guy, is there a certain window manufacturer you've looked at or talked about?
Right. So breathable, accessible, and sustainable, right? So actually, we have a window that actually does all three of those. It's a fiberglass window by Milgard.
Awesome.
And here's the cool thing about fiberglass is fiberglass has a very minimal off-gassing. So it doesn't off-gas like most plastics. Plastics, by the way, never cure. So that's why they're always continually off-gassing. And you notice that when you get in your car and you always got the film on your windshield all the time, it's because your dashboard is always off-gassing and you have to clean your window every so often on the inside. And so fiberglass doesn't off-gas as much because it's got glass as a big part of it. So it meets that breathable standard in that sense, which you're not going to get from a PVC or a clad wood, or you can't go colored. When you start going colored in your fiberglass, then you start adding a lot of VOCs into the tinting. And then how does it so it meets accessibility standpoint. So the latches, the you know, if you've got a casement window, the way it rolls out, it's real simple, easy to use. You know, they're designed for accessibility. Very simple on that. And then, of course, sustainability. You know, not only do you have your low E and those type of things, but because of it's a fiberglass, then it contracts and expands with the window. The frame and the glass are expanding and contracting together so you don't get the leakage. So, yeah, right. What's interesting is when we were talking to Milgard, they were like, wow, do we have a window that meets all these? And then we were like, yes, you do. And so this is how we look at these products. You know, can you meet all three of them? So we start with the breathable first, right? Can you meet that? You know, like I said, obviously on appliances, I mean, you got plastics and steels and appliances. I mean, you can't do that. So what do you do with an oven? You know, you got to outgas the oven first. You got to get it burned in before the people move into the house and let it run for a while to let it burn through its cycles. Same thing with like gas fireplaces and the things. They got to burn in a little bit.
You know, that's a good point because I think in almost every instance where I've had, and some of the gas fireplaces never seem to gas off, you know, to get rid of it completely.
Right.
And then always it seems like new appliances always have that, you know, that off gassing that takes forever to get rid of.
Right. So that's why as a builder, if you're a builder, you know, let's get those things out gassing as soon as we can so that when the people move into the house, they're not so inundated by those things. Those ways you can minimize it, right, is to, you know, is to start cutting those down sooner. But it's about thinking ahead about how you can minimize that.
Awesome, man. It's such a great way of explaining stuff that's so important that and that's what I love about taking the time to take a deeper dive in a podcast, because sometimes you only have such a short window to look at these opportunities. But that's what's so fun to where you just opened, you know, so many thoughts and things that you put out there. So hopefully the listening audience got a lot. And, you know, as a learning organization, if there's one thing you can say to contractors and architects out there listening to help them grow their business, how would you answer that question to send us off for another great show?
Well, people are thinking about their health. And if you can provide them a healthy house, a healthy product, a healthy build, a design, those things, you know, they're even willing to pay a little bit more for that, because in the reality is, if it makes them sick, they're going to pay a lot more. And so the ability to do that, and the more we start doing that, it's going to continue to bring prices down anyway. So, but I would say the most important thing is, one of the things we do through Invisible Disabilities is, most important thing we do is to believe people. And so when the person says, this makes me sick, believe them. Don't say, well, I don't know, or I don't know. Believe them. They wouldn't say it otherwise, because it's hard enough to say, right? It's like parking, disabled parking you were talking earlier. You know, people that park there know that they're going to get yelled at in a lot of cases, yeah, because they're not in a wheelchair, or they're not using crutches or canes or any of those things. So it's the same thing. So believe them, listen to the client. You know, that's the toughest thing. You know, don't just make an assumption that the client, oh, they just want the cheapest everything and I'm going to build them the cheapest house. No, listen to them. What are their needs on that? And ask them, you know, hey, here's the two options we have. This one's X dollars and this one's Y dollars, but Y, we know, is going to be a healthier product than this product. Do you want to go with Y? Who wouldn't want to spend 15% more on your house or 20% more on your house to do that? Everybody would.
Yeah, and the trade-offs. So well done, man. Thanks for coming in and telling us your story.
Thank you.
What a guy.
Amazing energy and passion for something that we don't think of a lot, you know, and having disabilities that other people don't see. It's really interesting that, you know, legitimate debilitating kinds of injuries and or, you know, reactions to certain chemicals in the air or byproducts, you know, people might not be able to see and understand that, but it's very real. And as you hear it described, it becomes more evident, doesn't it? I mean,
I really understand in such a better light from listening to his story. But after off air, the guy just so much passion, and he kept talking about so many cool things that I have to on the recap. I'm so excited to read The Adventures of Pumpkin and Cookie to my 3-year-old. So his wife, I mean, they have these two goats. He starts talking about it, and how his wife wrote these books, and it's like how awesome they have made their story. Of you could definitely bury your head in the sand with what they have going on, but to keep their head up and keep pushing forward, you can go to Sherry's website at SHERRICONNELL.com. Go there and check it out and see where you can get involved to be part of their story, because their inspiration is really awesome.
Yeah, it is. And the amazing thing is that I don't know how many times he described the fact that he's not trying to paint a doom and gloom kind of a picture, but just really how can you make your situation better? And if you're starting from scratch like he is on the, you know, on the idea house, how do you make it the best you can from start to finish?
Well, us as go-givers here on The Art of Construction will definitely be following all of his stuff, see the show notes to see what's going on. We'll definitely be involved in his movement of the Idea House. Super cool, and I'm so glad we were able to meet him. And kudos to Robert August, a previous guest, who said, Devin, you really need to have Wayne onto the show. So thanks, Robert, and so many great manufacturers represented and talked about here that are really looking at it more than what is just the bottom dollar, but it boils down to education and helping educate that movement, that hopefully The Art of Construction can be one part of that really big picture.
Yeah, it's an important big picture, and it's amazing that so many of these companies are, you know, really starting a new wave that really is going to be far more reaching than people might think otherwise. So take a look and go to the show notes page and get involved in some fashion to help out.
All right, we're big fans. Thanks for everything, Wayne.